This session is about self-destructive behavior out of fear. Self-destructive behavior. The term itself sounds like something we'd rather leave locked deep in the basement of our everyday worries. Unfortunately, no matter how much we might wish it, this behavior tends to surface from time to time and creep into our lives like a quiet saboteur. But what does it really mean? Self-destructive behavior usually refers to actions or reactions that a person, and now beware, consciously or unconsciously, goes for, despite clearly suspecting that the consequences will not be pleasant. Yes, it's the kind of situation where we know something is going to stab us in the back, and yet we reach out to do it. Why do we do it? Well, because life, our emotions, habits, and that tricky inner dialogue with ourselves can mess up our behavior pretty badly. This kind of behavior often stems from a deeper inner conflict that may not be obvious at first look. It may be rooted in low confidence, in how we perceive ourselves, in feelings of self-doubt, or in some deep-seated fear. Fear of failure, fear of getting hurt, or perhaps, and this may surprise you, fear of success. Yes, even success can be scary for some people. Sometimes this behavior acts as a form of self-defense. Sound paradoxical? Because it is a paradox. Self-destructive behavior can take many forms. No, it doesn't always express itself in extreme ways like self-harm, although that is one of its extreme outcomes. It is often much more subtle, barely noticeable, like a shadow that follows us at a relentless pace, and we don't even notice that we are actually sabotaging ourselves. One example is the avoidance of intimate relationships. Maybe you know that voice in your head that says, "Yeah, but what if the other guy hurts me? What if it doesn't work out again?" And so you pull back, run to a safe distance, and close yourself off rather than open yourself up to the possibility of pain. But in doing so, you also close off the possibility of closeness, joy, and connection. Another example is the sabotage of our own achievements. Imagine a situation where you start to thrive. You're climbing the career ladder. The dream you've painted for so long is becoming a reality. And suddenly you find yourself throwing sticks at your own feet. Maybe you're ignoring important deadlines, overlooking great opportunities, or just doing something that literally undermines your efforts. Why? Because somewhere inside you may feel like you don't deserve that success. Or you're afraid of what it might bring. Change, responsibility, more expectations? Better to sabotage it, right? Well, I don't know. Effective communication? There could be another obstacle. People who tend to self-destructive behavior often communicate either in an aggressive manner or, on the contrary, too passively. The result? Misunderstandings, conflicts, frustration. If you don't make it clear what you need, how should others know? What about such financial recklessness? Sure, we're all familiar with spending money on things we don't need to cheer us up, but when we take it to the extreme, it can become a serious problem that starts to affect not only our wallet, but also our relationships with loved ones. And again, we're at the point where we're tripping over our own feet. Then there are negative patterns of behavior. For example, returning into toxic relationships. You know it's bad for you. Those around you know it's bad for you. And yet you go back anyway. It's like an invisible force is drawing you back into a known yet harmful environment. Perfectionism? That's a chapter in itself. You set unrealistic expectations. You push yourself to a perfection that simply doesn't exist. And when you don't achieve it, you feel disappointed, dissatisfied, stressed. This can be truly exhausting. However, self-destructive behavior does not have to be apparent at first sight. It often hides behind feelings of guilt, shame, frustration, or even a sense of protecting yourself. We are under the impression that this behavior will protect us from pain, from failure, criticism, rejection. But the truth is that it's more likely to open another door to isolation, deeper emotional wounds, and other problems. What to do about it? The first step is awareness. Awareness of what we're doing and why we're doing it. But that's not enough. we often need help on the road to change. Whether it's through therapy, coaching, or a supportive community, there's no shame in asking for help. In fact, it's a sign of courage. Self-destructive patterns can be overcome, and a person can move forward and create a healthier and happier environment for themselves. But as I always say, let's remember to be gentle with ourselves. We are human beings, not machines. We all make mistakes, and we all have the right to take a step back before we move forward again. If you're not aware of your self-destructive behavior, that's perfectly fine. You're not alone. A lot of us don't even realize that sometimes we act against ourselves and trip ourselves up. And you know what's fascinating about that? That our brains, the working maniac, often hide all of these self-destructive behaviors so that we don't see them. It's like accidentally hiding your keys and then convincing yourself they're lost. The only issue is that it can be challenging to develop, feel satisfied, or even find happiness with this behavior. But I have good news for you. There's a way to start uncovering your hidden saboteur. The first step to understanding our own self-destruction is to turn our attention inward, to become aware of what is happening when something is happening. Does it sound like a joke? Not at all, because we often run around the world like a speedboat, noticing all kinds of chaos around us, but totally blind to our own responses and state of mind. And it is in how we react to the world around us that there is often a whole hidden force that can either lift us up or pull us down. One of the best ways to begin this adventurous journey into your inner self is to practice self-reflection and awareness. Don't worry, this isn't some esoteric meditation in the mountains, but a practical method to become more aware of what's going on in your head and heart. Now you're probably thinking, okay, how do I do that? I'm glad you're asking. Think of it as a little daily exercise to help you better recognize your emotions, the situations that trigger them, and the reactions you choose based on that. First exercise, self-reflection and awareness. Do you have a nice notebook or journal at home? If not, get one that catches your eye. Make it something special. You're going to work together for a while now, and this piece of paper can show you something incredible, the truth about yourself. Sit down every evening for 5 to 10 minutes and write down some answers to the following questions. What situations disturbed me the most during the day? What emotions did I feel during these situations? And most importantly, how did I react? Did I isolate myself? Did I refuse help from others? Did I look for relief in something that may not be good for my health? For the first few days, you may find all those notes to be a disjointed collection of chaotic thoughts. But don't let that discourage you. After a week, go back to what you wrote. Read it calmly and try to look for patterns. Do you notice any situations, people, or circumstances that happen repeatedly? What if you find that you are always reliably annoyed by the constant interruptions from your colleagues? Or that you feel overwhelming stress every time you have to reply to an unpleasant email? The more of these aha moments you discover, the more you'll understand what's impacting you below the surface. And you know what? Be gentle with yourself. Discovering something you'd rather not see isn't a bad thing. It's the first step to changing it. We all have our demons, and while they may look scary, it's our light that scares them the most. The conscious attention you direct at them, you can weaken them just by naming them. So make time for this exercise. An emotion and behavior diary can be your best partner on the road to a better understanding of yourself. And most importantly, no stress if things don't go exactly as you imagined at first. Every step forward, whether small or big, is a step in the right direction. Let's dive into practical part. Conscious decision making. First, we must begin to recognize the situations that lead us to unwanted behavior. Firstly, make a list of possible triggers. Really list everything you think might be what's throwing you off. For example, conflicts at work, family pressure, stressful situations, or loneliness. Secondly, now we have to monitor these situations, but really not just for a few minutes, but to become aware of them. This requires me to consciously evaluate nearly all of my activities. In the coming weeks, pay attention to how you react in these situations. Write down your feelings and thoughts on paper as they happen. And thirdly, slowing reactions. When you see a situation coming, try using a few techniques to give yourself time to think. Take a deep breath in and out to calm your mind. Assign a certain amount of time for this. Count to 30, for example. Pay attention to your inner state. Is there an inner voice? What's going on in your head? Here is a plan for change. Step 1. Pay attention to your emotions and behaviors through journaling and reflection. Write down everything that happens to you during the day. Ideally, write down everything in that particular situation. Step 2. Identify and record triggers of self-destructive behavior. Step 3. Watch what repeats itself over and over again, or if your trigger situations have anything in common. Step 4. Based on all this, set specific goals for behavior change and plan small steps to help you get there. And what might those steps be? Ideally, always write down for each situation what advice you would give to, for example, a friend if they were dealing with this. Meaning, look at everything through the eyes of an independent spectator. Working on becoming aware of self-destructive behavior takes time and patience, and it is important to keep this in mind. Elimination of self-destructive behavior. You need a goal and you need to know it. Step 1. Create a list of goals. Think about what you would like to achieve. What behaviors do you want to change and what patterns would you like to replace? Step 2. Defining positive habits. For each specific pattern, focus on alternative, healthy behaviors that you can incorporate into your life. Step 3. Tracking progress. Write down how you're doing. Keep track of your progress and remember to reward yourself. Here are 20 questions to help you get to know yourself better and find solutions. What specifically makes me feel vulnerable? What is my biggest fear? What are the emotions behind this behavior? Why do I have this fear and where does it come from? When is this behavior most likely to show up? What positive results could I achieve if I were to get rid of this behavior? How would my life change if I stopped suffering from this pattern? Who could help me on my path to change? What small steps can I take today to make positive change? What could I do better instead of this behavior? Is there anything I will always do to justify my behavior to myself? What patterns of behavior or thinking do I want to replace with positive ones? How can I manage the feelings that come over me? When was the last time I was successful in changing a behavior? What has helped me? What will I gain if I change? Is this what I really want? What does it mean for me to be in alignment with my values? What other resources can I use? How can I better communicate my needs to others? How can I celebrate my progress and successes? How do I intend to modify these behaviors in the next month?